Good afternoon. My name is Josué, and I have the joy of serving as one of the lay elders here at Covenant Hope. And it is such a great privilege to preach God's word to you all today. If you want to go to Dubai Mall by metro, after dropping off the metro station, you have to walk for about 20 minutes. The bridges that lead you there, they're equipped with travelators, which are conveyor mechanisms to transport people. And those moving walkways are meant to be walked at so that you can shorten the walk and you can make it more enjoyable. God's ways are meant to be walked at. That's for our good, so that we can enjoy the journey with Him. God's paths are to be walked so that we enjoy God Himself and all the blessings that flow from Him. You know, the people of ancient Israel, they used to literally walk on a journey up to Jerusalem to worship God. And our passage today is a song that they used to sing on the journey. Now, this song talks about walking in the ways of the Lord, and this is what causes one to be blessed and enjoy God's blessings. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Psalms. If you don't have one, you can raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring a Bible to you. You'll benefit as you look to the text together as I preach. And if you do get one, let that be our gift to you. So, Book of Psalms, that's in the Old Testament. Perhaps if you flip your Bible in the middle. And today, we're going to meditate on chapter 128. But before we read, let's go once again to the Lord and ask for His help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your word. Your word, Father, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we pray, Lord, now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in Your sight. O Lord, You are our rock and You are our Redeemer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 128, a song of ascent. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Covenant Hope, we are on a journey too. But we are not heading to Jerusalem or to any temple. We are heading to heaven. And this song can offer much encouragement for us even as we worship God here today. But Psalm 128 is meant to help us make it to heaven. This psalm is a call to us to enjoy God's covenantal blessings by walking in His ways. That's the main point of the passage, and so is the main point of my sermon. Enjoy God's covenantal blessings by walking in His ways. We see two sections in the passage. The first describes the one who is blessed, and the second consists of wish prayers to bless others. And so the sermon has two points: enjoy God's blessings to you, and pray for God's blessings to His people. Now, the superscription of this psalm says that this is a song of ascent. This means that this is one of the hymns that the pilgrims used to sing as they ascended to Jerusalem to worship the Lord according to what was commanded by him. Now, the city of Jerusalem is situated on a high hill, and that could be also called as Zion or the Mountain of God. So Israelites traveling for one of the annual festivals traditionally sang these songs on their journey uphill road to the city. Now, we are not told who wrote this song, Psalm 128, neither we know the specific context of the psalm, if it's before or after exile. But what we do know is that they didn't have any moving walkways, but they had something much better. They had God's ways, which is his word, the law of the covenant. And so we should consider that this psalm uses the language of old covenant blessings. In fact, Psalm 128 is just packed with so many blessings. It's fruitful work, fruitful wife, fruitful children, as well as prosperity, long life, and peaceful life. As a scholar calls it, these are the Beatitudes of Psalm 128. Those are blessings in the language of the Old Covenant, but they can be applied to us today in light of the New Covenant in Jesus. So let's unpack it. Our first point today is enjoy God's blessings to you. We see that in verses 1 through 4. Now, in this section, the psalmist declares a blessing by describing this beautiful picture of a happy family in a poetic way. And within these verses, we see promises about the enjoyment of the blessings. But the first thing we must notice is that the blessings declared by the psalmist are conditional and covenantal. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." So who is blessed? Verse 1 answers it, and verse 4 reaffirms it: those who fear the Lord. So verse 1 opens the section by setting the tone and driving the meaning of the whole passage. Now, I wonder if you noticed that Lord is written in uppercase. That is because this is the name of God. In the book of Exodus, God reveals his name to be Yahweh. That corresponds to the four Hebrew consonants, YHWH. So this is the personal and divine name of God. And this is so important because this name tells us about God's attributes and characters. It tells us that God is self-existent, that God is the creator and sustainer of all things that exist, that God is immutable in his being and character, and that God is eternal in his existence. The name of Yahweh, the Lord, is also a clear reminder of God's promises to his people and of his help for them. So friends, this is the Lord who is to be feared, so that blessings are granted. But you might wonder, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, the Lord himself helps us get that answered as well in his word. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, "So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him." In the book of Joshua chapter 24, we read, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served and served the Lord." Psalm 128 itself says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." Friends, to fear God doesn't mean being afraid of God, as we might eventually read it. unlike a fear that would drive us away from God, this is a fear that keeps us from turning away from Him, and so keeps us walking in His ways. It is a right way to respond, recognizing God's authority and majesty and love in submission to Him. Now, to fear the Lord then really means to walk through life bowing to His kingship, to walk in His ways as a gracious deliverer, to walk in reverent, trusting adoration. It means to walk in His ways, which means obey His will for our lives as manifested in His word. So the fear of the Lord is a matter of the heart. And here we see that heart drives feet. So fear drives walking in His ways. It does have to do with putting sin away, as we saw in the book of Joshua. R.C. Sproul helps us, saying, as long as we discount the severity of sin, we sense no fear of God. Now, the gospel both frees us from fear and gives us fear. It frees us from sinful fear and gives us right fear. The words of John Newton in the hymn Amazing Grace that we're going to sing together later says, it was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Church, do you see that the fear of the Lord itself is a blessing? It is God who causes us to fear. Now, the fear of God is also a blessing for the new covenant. In Jeremiah chapter 32, God is saying, I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts, that they may not turn from me. So it is not a fear that you want to flee from God. The work of the Holy Spirit produces in us wonderful fear that draws us to God. Michael Reeves, in his little booklet called What Does It Mean to Fear the Lord, helps us even to think of this as a church. He says, this fear admits no boasting before God, and so admits no elite and no second class in the church. It gathers us together in the warm and humble fellowship of a shared love. We see in the book of Acts that even the fear of the Lord was what it caused the church to grow. We read in the middle of chapter 9, so the church had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Covenant Hope, let's strive and pray to be a church marked by walking in the fear of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do you seek to grow in walking in the fear of the Lord? Are you afraid of God, or do you fear Him? Is there anything that you fear more than you fear God? The fear of God shows that entering the life of Christ involves a transformation of our affections, so that we begin to renounce and despise our sin, the fruit of our rebellion against the Holy God, and we treasure this God that we once betrayed. Let's marvel on our Lord Jesus Christ, who crushed all the curse of sinfulness. Let's honor Him as the one who walks beside us and causes all our sinful fears to fly. One appropriate expression of right fear is singing. Now, that's even appropriate as we picture the people of Israel singing this song on their journey. Psalm 47, verses 1 and 2 say, shout to God with loud songs of joy, for the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared. Brothers and sisters, why wouldn't we sing of this redeeming grace with one voice, with one heart, with one soul. Let me encourage you, sing, and sing loudly and boldly as to the one who restored our hearts. So we saw that the fear of God results in obedience, and obedience will bring about the blessings of the covenant. That's what we read here in Psalm 128. And this psalm speaks not only of earning God's blessings, but also the ability of enjoying them. Look there again with me. Verses 2 and 3 say, "You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table." You know, the Lord, Yahweh, when he rescued his chosen people from the slavery in Egypt, he gave them a covenant. And that was a package deal where blessings were the consequences of keeping the covenant stipulations, and curses were the consequences of not keeping the covenant. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, we read Moses calling on the congregation to obey the commands of God, setting forth God's promises, God's promised blessings for obedience, and his curses for disobedience. Deuteronomy 28, verses 3 and 4 say, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground." Further down, in verse 11, we read, "And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground." Does it sound familiar? So verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 128 were written in the covenantal language. They restate the blessings of the covenant, promising these very blessings to those who fear the Lord, just as Moses did in Deuteronomy 28. But in the covenant given in Deuteronomy, there were curses too, in greater length, by the way. And they promised things like a curse on the fruit of the womb, a ravished wife, sons and daughters given to others, just the opposite of the other of the blessings. Now, you know, in a culture like ancient Israel, based on subsistence agriculture, things like crops and herds were critical elements for physical life. So for them, blessedness consisted of a productive farm and good crops, a faithful wife and children around the table together, and a stable farm to pass on their children. So with that in mind, let's look a little closer to those blessings of Psalm 128. Notice that they begin outside the house, moving to within the house, and landing at around the table. There are blessings everywhere. And whereas the blessings go to everyone who fears the Lord, in verse 1, verses 2 and 3 make it particular to the individual as the subject changes to you in second person. We see three blessings, and the first blessing we see is fruitful labor. Fruitful labor. You know, one result of the fall was that Adam, in the Garden of Eden, would have to work to get food on the table. In Genesis 3, we see that the curse on the land meant food would be eaten in painful toil. In Deuteronomy 28, the curse of the covenant promised that enemies would eat the fruit of Israel's labor. Now, as a reversal of the curse of Genesis 3, this man of Psalm 128 works, and he will eat the results of the labor of his hands as earning rewards. And his family lives off his earning in satisfaction. There is enjoyment on the yield of this man's labor. If the blessed land of Eden didn't know curse on land, no painful toil before the sin of man, those now who fear the Lord can experience a measure of that Eden-like kind of life. Even as the preacher of Ecclesiastes often commended, nothing better for man than God's gift of the ability to enjoy the fruits of one's toil. The second blessing we see is a wife who will be like a fruitful vine. You know, the vine produces the grapes for wine, a source of joy to the Israelites. So the wife here is a bringer of joy. And the blessings that the fruitful wife brings includes children around the table. Now, although the primary meaning here is fecundity, it also means the joyful intimacy that leads to the fruitfulness and all the gladness of a happy marriage. And the third blessing is children like olive shoots around the table. The vine and the olive were often images for covenant blessings, and olives and olive oil were valued basic products in the life of the ancient nation. Here, the father is the olive tree, and the children will extend and represent his fruitfulness. Friends, these verses paint a beautiful picture, and we should pause and ponder at this treasure of joy. Apparently, the you addressed in these verses is a godly, believing man who has the responsibility under God of leading his family. So let me ask first to those of us who are husbands and fathers here. Brothers, do you lead and guide and pastor your wife in the fear of the Lord? Do you love your wife as Christ loved the church? If you have children, do you teach them in the ways of Jesus? Do you lead them in family worship so that they grow in learning what Jesus has accomplished for them? We have a God-given authority to love our wives and to lead and care for our children. And so we are to take seriously the responsibility to fear the Lord in our own lives and to do what we can do to lead our families in doing the same. The integrity and godliness that accompanies the fear of the Lord will nourish the family relations. The wife will feel loved, safe, secure, and she will flourish. The children of the relationship will thrive and grow in the fear of the Lord. So the blessings are not restricted to this man, because he is blessed, so are his wife and children if they fear the Lord. Now, sisters, if you are a wife and a mother, let me encourage you as well. This is not the only word in Scripture about what believing women do in their fruitful lives, but this is a significant part of your services to Jesus as you shape young lives. Let me say thank you for your work. Now, that's not only coincidence that today is the first Sunday in the summer that we don't have kids' classes, and so children ages 3 to 7 all around here, our service, I think, is full of olive shoots. So children, I'm glad you're here. Let me address you today. Let me encourage you to look closely to your parents, to their teaching, and to their living. That's one of the main means of grace from God to you that can cause you to grow in the gospel. Now, all these covenant blessings are summed up and reaffirmed in verse 4, introduced by the word, behold. Look at that with me, verse 4. It says, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Friends, you should know that although the people of Israel vowed to that covenant, they failed to do that. God indeed declared that his people would fail in their obedience to his commands, and so did we. We all have broken and betrayed every vow. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So friends, none of us deserve any of these blessings. Because of our sin of rebellion against the holy God, we deserve all the curses. All of us. You know, God, in the beginning, created everything, and he created us in his image. But in rebellion, all of us have chosen in our hearts to disobey him, and we have rejected him as a king. We all have sinned, as we have broken God's law, and for that, we deserve punishment, eternal death. But God, in his amazing grace and mercy, he sent his own son to the world to rescue us because we couldn't save ourselves. Now, Jesus, fully man and fully God, is the perfect man who obeyed God fully his whole and entire life. Jesus is the blessed man who always feared God and walked in his ways. Not only fully man, but fully God, Jesus was obedient to the point of death and death on the cross. Jesus was put to death, taking on himself the punishment that we deserved because of our sin. But he didn't stay that. Because destroying death once and for all, he came back to life 3 days later. He is risen. He is alive right now. Now, God commands everyone, everywhere, to turn their back on sin and believe in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of sins. Friends, Psalm 128 is fulfilled in Christ, the blessed man, in whom we inherit every spiritual blessing. That's why we read, that's what we read earlier in our service from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Brothers and sisters, what a great blessing we have to be reconciled to our Father by the blood of the new covenant in Jesus. Let this be an encouragement to you to enjoy and to rejoice in the blessings of the new life that we have in Christ. Let this be an encouragement to you to seek to grow in the fear of God, and as a result of that, to work heartily and diligently with excellence. Be reminded that even as you work, you are serving the Lord Christ. Also, as a result of fear of the Lord, married couples should love their spouses well, and parents should faithfully train children in godliness. This psalm is finally true only in Christ, and only when he returns. But we must not forget that it is sometimes partly fulfilled in God's gracious blessings. It could be fruitful work and joyful family life. Now, when God gives these blessings in this age, even in some measure, we should be deeply grateful for them. Now, not everyone will be blessed with marriage or children, but forgiveness of sins is available for everyone, for all who repent and believe in Jesus, and that grants spiritual blessings. Now, whether or not we are giving to enjoy these literal blessings in this age, Psalm 128 is setting before us supremely the blessings that are ours in Christ, the blessed man. In Christ, this psalm encourages us to work hard, whether married or unmarried. And in Christ, this psalm encourages us to be fruitful members of the church of Christ. So covenant hope, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Now, if you're here today and you haven't made the decision of walking in Jesus' ways, let me ask you, what is keeping you from doing that? You know, you might be enjoying satisfying work or a joyful marriage or a health-growing family. You should know that those are blessings and they all come from the Lord. But they are not the most important. The way of life that disregards God, that doesn't know Jesus, leads to hell. So I urge you today, repent from your rebellion against God and believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you will enjoy the blessings we have in Christ. This is how we are truly blessed. When we are in a right relationship with God, which only Jesus can give. That's how we can enjoy God's blessings to us. Now, the ending of the psalm shows that blessedness is not individual, but it relates to the large reality of the well-being of God's people. After these descriptive promises of verses 1 through 4, we see a wish prayer blessings. And this is our second and final and shorter point this afternoon. Pray for God's blessings to his people. We see that in verses 5 through 6. Look at verses 5 to 6 with me again. It says, "The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." So verse 5 assumes that the audience of the psalm will embrace the fear of the Lord, and that leads to blessings. And we see more blessings, by the way. Prosperity, long life, peaceful life. You know, long life and large families were a blessing in ancient Israel. But this is a prayer that each member of God's people would know such a condition of blessedness. A condition that will benefit the whole of God's people. We are told that the Lord is the one who blesses, and those blessings come from Zion. James Hamilton helps us here. He says, "To call the place Zion is to evoke David, implying the restoration of the Davidic throne, the rebuilding of the temple, and the Davidic monarchy." So the blessing is said to come from Zion because blessings comes from the covenant with David, which is fulfilled in Jesus. Now, the second part of verse 5 prays for those who fear the Lord to see this restored state. It is like they're saying, "May you look on the goodness of Jerusalem all the days of your life." At such a time, children will not die from malnutrition, children will not be slain in battle, children will not be enslaved and carried into exile. And then verse 6 prays, "May you look on your children's children. May you see your children's children." And for that to happen, family must be stable. The faith must be passed on. Relationships must be harmonious. God's blessings must be realized because the people fear the Lord. Friends, Jerusalem and the people of Israel were God's people according to the old covenant, but now, through Christ, this is God's people, the church. So this prayer ties the family blessings firmly to the people of God and ultimately to the church of Christ. The wellness of the man and his family is the wellness of Jerusalem, so the good of his family is a part of the greater good of the church of Christ. The blessing is not for isolated families, but for all who belong to the family of Jesus. As Jesus says in Matthew 12, Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now, John Calvin reminds believers of the duty not only of seeking their own individual welfare or of being devoted to their own peculiar interests, but rather of having it as their chief desire to see the Church of God in a flourishing condition. Covenant Hope, let's walk as a church and pray that we'll be marked to be this family in flourishing condition. And while we wait for Jesus to return, let's be assured as we walk the ways of the cross that all the blessings of Christ will be ours. We enjoy these blessings as we are united with Christ, the one man who is fully blessed in this way. Now, the closing prayer says, "Peace be upon Israel," or "Shalom on Israel." Shalom is a Hebrew term for wholeness and wellness, but we are to be reminded that we have peace with God through Jesus. The peace of reconciliation with God through the blood of Jesus, our peace. This blessing is for everyone who fears the Lord. Anyone can get on this. All those who are willing to humble themselves in the fear of the Lord, which for us today means humbling ourselves into the gospel of Jesus, taking Christ's accomplishment as our own, allowing him to take our iniquities as his own. Friends, Jesus is the blessed man. He took the curses so that we get the blessings. Now we can enjoy God's blessings to us in Christ by walking in his ways. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the blessed man. Lord, you are the one who lived the life that we could never live, and yet you took the punishments that we should have taken, Lord. We thank you that on the cross, you made us holy again, and you rose again so that we can have forgiveness of our sins. Father, we pray that you would help us individually and as a church to walk in your ways. Help us to be reminded of the blessings we have in Jesus. And we pray that this will cause much fruit and our lives would flourish for the glory of your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.